From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his series of studies of the Book of Romans as he brings the opening portion of a message called Trophies of Grace and Testimonies to the Success of the Gospel. The text is Romans chapter 1, verse 7. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Ancient Rome was a city given over to pleasure and vice, and yet even prior to Paul's visit, there was a thriving church there. As Dr. Cairns will demonstrate, the gospel is a glorious, powerful message, able to rescue sinners from the deepest darkness and depraved conditions. Dr. Cairns will be with us in just a few minutes. First, we invite your attention to this brief devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, Is There a Difference? The text is found in Exodus chapter 11 and verse 7. But against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue against man or beast, that ye may know how that the Lord doth put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. What? Has God power over the tongues of dogs? Can he keep curs from barking? Yes, it is even so. He can prevent an Egyptian dog from worrying one of the lambs of Israel's flock. Doth God silence dogs and doggish ones among men and the great dog at hell's gate? Then let us move on our way without fear. If he lets dogs move their tongues, yet he can stop their teeth. They may make a dreadful noise and still do us no real harm. Yet how sweet is quiet! How delightful to move about among enemies and perceive that God maketh them to be at peace with us. Like Daniel in the den of lions, we are unhurt amid destroyers. Oh, that today this word of the Lord to Israel might be true to me. Does the dog worry me? I will tell my Lord about him. Lord, he does not care for my pleadings. Do thou speak the word of power, and he must lie down. Give me peace, O my God, and let me see thy hand so distinctly in it that I may most clearly perceive the difference which thy grace has made between me and the ungodly.
Sometimes a wife surprises the Christian while he sleeps. It is the Lord who rises with healing in his will. When comforts are declining, he grants the soul again. But sees the Lord
From time to time here on Let the Bible Speak, we've called attention to Q&A with Alan Cairns. These are video clips of Dr. Cairns giving biblical answers to a variety of questions. These include such issues as, what is the gospel? Why did Christ have to be virgin-born? How do we know the Bible is the Word of God? What's wrong with same-sex marriage? In all, Dr. Cairns responds to over 50 such concerns. As we've mentioned, all of these video clips have been available on the LTBSradio.com website. Now we're pleased to make available a DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's Word for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy of Q&A with Alan Cairns free of charge simply by requesting it. Just ask for the DVD of Q&A with Alan Cairns. You may email ltbs@freepress.org. That's ltbs@freepress.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Finally, if you wish, you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day.
Romans chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. Tonight we come to deal with verse 7, which is the end of the salutation. Then from verse 8 through 15, we have the introductory passage, and then the statement of theme, and then he develops it right throughout the rest of the epistle. Romans 1, verse 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the holy scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship, for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope that many of you have taken up the challenge at least to memorize these opening verses of the book of Romans. We have read this passage now six or seven times. This is probably the eighth time we have read it together. So I hope that that has allowed it to percolate and that you've given a lot of thought to it. Keep on trying to memorize through these opening verses of Romans. You may not be able to memorize the whole book, as Martin Luther exhorted people to do, but you will be able to memorize parts. And let me tell you, the more you memorize of the great parts of this book, the more help they will be in many times of crisis in life. They'll get your thinking straight. They'll get your heart right. They'll give you great solidity in your life. Samuel Taylor Coleridge, I quoted earlier in these studies, said that this was the profoundest piece of writing in existence. A great literary scholar and critic himself. The greatest or the most profound piece of writing in existence. I think he was right, and I certainly trust that you'll memorize parts of it. We come tonight to verse 7 of chapter 1. To all that be in Rome. Link this up with verse 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Throughout the salutation and the introduction, that is the first 15 verses, Paul is taking one step after another toward the great statement of verses 16 and 17, in which he sets forth the theme of the entire epistle. Now, we have seen already in these studies that that theme is that the good news that God has provided a perfect righteousness for the salvation of guilty sinners who believe in Jesus Christ is a glorious and a powerful message for the entire world. That's the thesis that Paul is defending and elaborating upon right throughout this epistle. In these opening verses, he has shown us that this gospel of the imputed righteousness of Christ is, verse 1, the gospel of God. Verse 2, it is the gospel of the whole Bible, from Genesis through the Old Testament and Matthew right through the New Testament. There is no other gospel than this one. Verses 3 and 4, he shows us that it is this gospel that supplies us with the only true understanding of the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. In verses 5 and 6, he shows it is the gospel that is fitted for the whole world, nations of every kind. And now in verse 7, he comes down to a very personal level. This is Paul, the apostle, the servant, the preacher, the pastor. And he is writing to the saints of God in the city of Rome. Many of them, well, at least a few of them, he has known from former experiences in other places, and they have drifted toward Rome. Many others he has never met, he knows nothing of except by reputation. But he knows enough to be able to address them personally and say to them in effect, in verse 7, this gospel that I'm preaching to you is no mere religious theory. It is not something that you accept merely upon authority. It is not something that you accept merely by report from other people. You are not dependent on what you read of the triumphs of the gospel in other places or in other people. This is not just theory. It is not even just theology. It is not just history. He's saying, you have proved this gospel for yourselves. This gospel has transformed your own lives, and it continues to transform your lives. You know personally that this is a glorious and a powerful message suited for the whole world, because this gospel has made you trophies of grace and testimonies to the success of the gospel. Trophies of grace and testimonies to the success of the gospel. That is the force of verse 7 as you fit it into Paul's great scheme of things as he's working up toward his statement of theme. In other words, he's saying, your own testimony proves some very fundamental truths about the gospel. And I want to take four of them tonight. It proves, first of all, that the gospel succeeds, no matter how depraved the society that it penetrates. Notice the words. He's writing to all the beloved in Rome. And emphasize in Rome. Now, Rome was the imperial capital. In a nutshell, the Roman history is it started out as a little city, then a city-state, then it became a republic. It made most of its great conquests while it was a republic. And after that, it became an empire ruled over by the imperial Caesars. Rome was the capital of the empire. In a sense, it was true in the ancient world that all roads led to Rome. Rome was the place of ultimate political power. It was the place of unrivaled opportunity. Rome was a bustling city, a city of many nationalities, many religions, and many different classes and kinds of people. In this city, business abounded, especially the business of politics and the business of the military. But business abounded. Their pleasure abounded. The Romans had pleasure down to a fine art. Probably it is true to say that the empire finally choked on its own pleasures and choked itself to death. I remember when we were studying Latin and Roman culture, we were rather revolted to find out how the Romans worshipped pleasure and how they worshipped their belly. They loved to eat and they loved to drink. They would have their great feasts. They would lie down by their tables, reclining, eating and drinking. They would eat and drink till they could eat and drink no more. And then they would turn around and make themselves sick so as to empty their stomach of its contents, just so they could start eating and drinking all over again. And even to young Irish people, that sounded rather sick. So, it would be true to say, that was only the tip of the iceberg, by the way, it would be true to say that this was a people who ultimately choked themselves to death upon their own pleasures. Vice abounded on every hand. Edward Gibbon, famous for his Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire, characterized the Caesars of this period in which the Epistle to the Romans was written and this church took root. He characterized the Caesars of that period as engaged in the pursuit of pleasure or in the exercise of tyranny. And those same pursuits, pleasure and power, were evident at every level of society. One English writer of the last century, I forget, we have moved on a century. 2 centuries ago, shows you how old we are. He spoke of the idolatrous obscenities of Rome, heathen Rome. Those idolatrous obscenities of heathen Rome set the city of the Caesars at open warfare with the gospel of Jesus Christ. There was no place on earth where the gospel could expect hotter opposition than imperial Rome. And yet in Rome itself, the gospel had powerful success. Secular sources would lead us to believe that probably by this early period, the gospel had even penetrated to the highest levels of Roman society, so that some of the aristocracy had already come under the power of the gospel. Now, we don't know how this church was formed. We don't know exactly when it was formed, though it must have been at least 20 years before this epistle was written. Personally, I tend to the belief that it was quite a bit earlier than that. At any rate, we don't know how or when or even by whom. The Roman Catholic notion, espoused by many Lutherans and by many Episcopalians, that somehow Peter had a big hand in the founding of this church, is totally at variance with the New Testament. It was not founded by Peter. It is not a church that was founded by Paul. Obviously, Paul had never been to Rome when he wrote this epistle, and yet the church was already thriving in that place. It was not founded by Paul. We find in Acts chapter 2 that there were various people present at the day of Pentecost. Some of them were Jewish proselytes and Jewish inhabitants of Rome. There was quite a Jewish population in Rome in those early times. So much so indeed that Claudius, the emperor, just a few years before Paul wrote this epistle, threw all the Jews out of Rome for a time. It was a big population of them. Could well be that some of those Jews and proselytes converted on the day of Pentecost took the gospel back to Rome. Again, we find that there was a great scattering from Jerusalem of all but the apostles following the persecution upon the death of Stephen. Quite possible again that many of those ultimately made their way to Rome. We don't know exactly how, when, and by whom this church was founded, but we do know some things about it. It was a church that was made up of Gentiles and Jews. But this epistle would make it clear that the Gentiles were in the majority.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.